Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Saving money on everything for your next project. Now at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of bagged concrete and mortar mixes. Whether you're pouring a walkway, concrete slab, or setting a post, we have the right product at the best price to complete your project. Shop our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now.
Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe with you. A clash of two 5-0 teams here in Nashville this Sunday at Nissan Stadium. Steelers coming to town. We had Jeff Fisher on the show yesterday, longtime head coach of the Oilers/Titans, and I said, I know the Steelers aren't in the Titans division anymore, but it is Pittsburgh's coming to town, he said. Man, it's always Steeler week. Jeff Fisher used to get up big time when the Steelers and the Titans were in the same division. He just approached it a little bit differently, and it still feels like they're in the same division. It still feels like a huge game. To help us break down this matchup, Charlie Batch, former longtime quarterback in the league, former Steelers quarterback, and on Twitter you can find him at Charlie Batch 16 now joins us, and he's a part of their broadcast team, doing some post-game work, does a lot of stuff in Pittsburgh. Charlie, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Oh, doing fantastic. How is it viewed in Pittsburgh, this matchup? I just kind of told you what it's like here. How's it viewed there?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it, you know, just my experience of being in that locker room around Mike Tomlin, he doesn't really look at, you know, the opponent. He looks at it, and you'll start probably hearing your phrase that says it's a five-star matchup, and you'll probably hear the players start mentioning that. And he only says that, but he says it's a five-star matchup because we're in it. Regardless of the opponent, it's a matter of we're in it. And that's the kind of the mindset that he has around here. Let's not overlook it. Doesn't matter if you're playing the Titans this week or the Ravens next week. It's just a matter of controlling internally that way, and that's just how they go about business around here.
I got to ask you, and I've said this for years on this show. It's like when the Steelers draft a wide receiver, well, there's your next really good wide receiver. They do it every single year. I don't know how this organization, this has been going on for a long time. It doesn't matter who they put out there at receiver. They seem to shine, and in a lot of cases when they go elsewhere, they're not the same player, and enter now Chase Claypool. And there's a guy we talked about. So how's it worked out where now he's exploded onto the scene this fast?
Well, I think when you look back, and I appreciate that question, because when you look back, and Kevin Colbert has done a great job of drafting receivers, not necessarily number one. So he's found a gem, and he has a niche for that. And it doesn't matter if he's drafted second or third round or an undrafted free agent in the case of like a Nate Washington. And I say that only because I tweeted at him earlier today, and I know he's listening to this show here down in Nashville, that I want to know who he's rooting for. He played with the Steelers, won two Super Bowl rings, but had a long career with the Titans. So you have to get him on this show to put his prediction out there, because I want the world to know who he's picking. So that's just my disclaimer for Nate Washington as you're listening here now. But I think when you look back and with Chase Claypool, you know, he's a guy, second-round draft pick. A lot of people knew they were going to try to go get after a receiver. But here, Chase, we didn't have preseason, so nobody really knew what he was capable of bringing to the table. But back in early August, Joe Hayden, he tweeted out, he said, man, Chase Claypool is going to be reckoned with this season. Everybody took it, you're just talking. But here he is now, first five games, and he's putting on a show right now, leading this team in receptions, and I think ultimately has taken over the number one receiver position.
All right, I can answer it for you. Friday night at 7 o'clock your time, 7 o'clock p.m. your time, all you need to do is either download our app, which is ESPN 102.5 The Game, or you can go on and live stream from Pittsburgh, Charlie, and you can listen to Nate, because Nate will do an hour with Teron Davenport, who is the Titans reporter for ESPN. They do an hour on Friday nights, and I'm sure Nate will give a prediction, and if he doesn't, you should call into the show and make him give a prediction.
You want to know what? And I'm glad. Thank you for that. And if you could have your producers, somebody cut just that edit out when he gives a prediction, and please tweet it to me and copy Nate on it, because I want to make sure that he goes on record and gives a prediction.
Consider it done, Charlie. So how about this Pittsburgh team? Because there was a lot of question marks of, okay, Big Ben's back, but what is he going to look like? How is this all going to play out? Obviously, they're known for having great defenses over the years. The defense is exceptional yet again. But how has all this come together where this Pittsburgh team looks like they're back to being a machine again at 5-0?
Yeah, and it started with the defense. And Mike Tomlin done a great job along with defensive coordinator Keith Butler, but putting his players in position to be successful. And everybody talks about Bud Dupree, and everybody knows around the country what T.J. Watt brings to the table, who should have won Defensive Player of the Year last year. But that defensive front, Tyson Alualu, Cam Hayward, Stephon Tuitt, those guys are getting it done up front, allowing these linebackers to free flow and make tackles, in addition to allow the back end to gamble on plays, such as Minkah Fitzpatrick, such as Joe Hayden, Steven Nelson. These guys are getting it done routinely only because the pressure that is applied to the quarterback. So it started with the defense, so I think that's what made the decision for Ben easier to come back. And quite frankly, he didn't know if he was coming back, because the type of surgery that he was going to have, that was something that was never done on a quarterback. So now there's a lot of unknowns. And they did a behind-the-scenes clip, and he kind of documented his rehab process over the offseason. And those conversations about him doubting himself, maybe contemplating retirement and having those conversations with his family, that was real. But it's really good to see him now bouncing back and having the type of season that he's having, because he is playing phenomenal football right now.
Longtime veteran NFL quarterback Charlie Batch is with us, former backup for the Steelers to Ben Roethlisberger. We can all, Charlie, remember the game where you stepped in and played here in Nashville and won a big game for the Steelers. I think some Titans fans are still a little sore at that one. That was a pretty big one, but we're really glad to have you on the show today. So you mentioned with Ben Roethlisberger, he had to work extremely hard to get back. We know the vintage Ben Roethlisberger is he'll wait, he'll bounce off people, he'll find guys down the field after several seconds. Has he adjusted? Has he needed to adjust at all the way he's played? I know it's sort of gradually happened over the years, but do you notice anything different now that he's been through this?
Yeah, I think, you know, and that was a really good point that you made there, because over the course of his career, he always wanted to now, you know, to anticipate the blitz, maybe firm up the protection, and then make defenses pay for that by throwing the football down the field. So he has a lot of success that way. But this year, he has altered his game. You know, he wants to throw the football down the field, but then a couple weeks ago when they played the Philadelphia Eagles here at Heinz Field, he was getting the ball out probably quicker than I've ever seen in his career. And that was because of the pressure of the defensive front by design, by game plan. So it was really good to see that way. So now he's adding that to his arsenal. So these coordinators are looking at this and they're saying, maybe we can't blitz him because he's not doing what he's done in the past. So it's really a really good way of keeping defenses balanced and keeping them honest as it relates to what they're going to do moving forward. So this is a really good position where Ben is at. And I think the evolution of his receivers, a young receiver core at this point, is now they're building that trust that they weren't able to build up in this offseason.
Thinking back to last year, Charlie, I admired how the Steelers hung in there, and you could tell they were duct taping stuff. They were doing everything they could to stay in it, and they almost pulled it off. And, of course, it was the Titans that were sitting there going, can somebody please beat the Steelers so that they could make the charge and sneak in there to the playoffs? Going through that last year, how much do you think that helped their toughness overall, you know, going into this year?
I think it helped from a mental capacity. It helped the team overall because they knew they were playing with a fourth-team quarterback. You know, Duck Hodges, yeah, he was a third, but he ultimately got beat out in training camp by Josh Dobbs, and Dobbs was traded to Jacksonville last year. They released him, and now he's back on the Steelers roster. So they feel very comfortable as far as the depth, but they just didn't have that piece last year by getting over the hump because Mason Rudolph wasn't able to stay healthy. Right now you add Ben to this equation. This team really is confident. They say, okay, now, Ben, we're not asking you to be Superman. We're not asking you to go in and have to now take your cape off and put your cape on and do all of these type of things. So I think when you look at what he's doing, he knows, okay, if I make a mistake defensively, they're going to cover my back. And that was something that really, when you look back, that wasn't there a year ago. In the minute that last week, the minute that the Steelers went down, put 3 points on the board before Ben was able to get back on the field. Minka intercepts a pass back for him, runs it back for a touchdown. It's 10-0, and you could tell at that point they were going to go more in ball control mode, and you weren't going to see some of those higher statistics that we're used to seeing with Ben Roethlisberger.
Charlie Batch is with us, former quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And going back to Ben for a second, you brought up the physical things that you've seen from him this year, but you were with him a long time in that locker room. You've covered him now since your career ended. What have you seen from a mental standpoint? Because we know that mentally that's just as important as the physical preparation. How that has changed with him over the course of his career?
Yeah, I think a lot of it where, you know, I think it's just being smarter, mentally being smarter. He wants to get rid of the football early on in his career, and even in middle of his career, he was taking more shots than he should have because those hits were ultimately adding up, and it was taking a toll on his body, where then there was a period of stretch where he didn't miss a snap for 2.5 years, and then he ultimately got hurt last year, but that was just more wear and tear on his arm. So I think now that you look back and the fresher that he is, the arm's feeling good, it's a matter about maintaining and not taking those unnecessary shots. The offensive line is really doing a good job. They've only allowed 6.5 sacks so far this season, but the hits on the quarterback is not there. So now that he's able to now stay a lot fresher, it keeps his mind fresher to those points that now he's able to go out there and see some of these things, and long as evaluating the talent that's there when he's observing practices on a Wednesday, so in preparation for the game.
Clearly, we've talked a lot about what's gone on with the Titans and, you know, having to reschedule this game and moving the Buffalo game to Tuesday night. But what was the talk like in Pittsburgh amongst the fans and even some of the players that maybe you've talked to about having to move and change from, all right, mentally you're ready to go against the Titans, and then now you have to move it to the bye week to play the Titans this week?
Yeah, it was tough. And a lot of players, they were quite frankly ticked off. And the reason being is because that bye week was so critical, because it was almost right at that midway point for the Steelers that they knew, okay, we could refresh, regroup, and get ready for the second half of the year. But ultimately, when things were switched, it's giving them an early bye week, and ultimately having to play 13 straight games or 16 straight games that they would have to play without a bye. And now it makes that number one seed more critical, that they now have to now have that in their sights, because that is the only true bye week. And the consolation prize is the Thursday night game they play on Thanksgiving. They play the Ravens on that last game on Thanksgiving. They now have to treat that as a bye week. But again, playing 3 games in 11 days, and then you only get the weekend off, that's not a true bye week. So around here, they're really ticked off at that decision. But ultimately, when you're dealing with the circumstances with COVID and all of these type of things, you have to be flexible. So there weren't, after that week, there wasn't much talk as it relates to what they can currently control. They just have to deal with it at this point.
I did want to ask you, I know you've done a lot since your playing career ended with the Best of the Batch Foundation. Tell us a little more about that and what you're doing with it.
Yeah, Best of the Batch Foundation, we're an educational foundation based in Pittsburgh, where we focus on reading computer literacy along with our STEAM programs. And we've been in existence now for 21 years, and we actually service 3,800 kids annually throughout the Pittsburgh area. And we have 13 different programs that we run. So it's really cool to be able to have all of these kids entering into our building. And then ultimately, now that we're kind of busting out of the seams with space, we are adding 27,000 square feet to our existing building, so it'll make it 33,000 in total. So we're adding a gymnasium, we're adding activity rooms, classroom spaces, along with our STEAM programs. And we add the A for arts versus just STEM, because we want to bring back the arts as well. So it's really exciting, really cool part to be around, and it's just really, truly a blessing to have all of the volunteers and supporters that we have. Anybody who wants to learn what we do, they can go to our foundation website, which is batchfoundation.org, and they can see everything we do throughout a calendar year.
Well, that's outstanding. All right, last question. It's going to be the toughest one of this entire interview. Okay? You have to tackle one of them. Okay? And they're going to get a 10-yard head start, but you have to tackle one. Which one are you going to tackle? Derrick Henry today or Jerome Bettis in his prime? Which one are you going to tackle with a 10-yard head start?
Well, I think I probably would be a little bit more afraid of Derrick Henry at this point, only because he has the acceleration and the speed. Jerome, you knew, okay, he got a head start, but it won't be as you know, that forceful impact at that point, even though he's a big guy. But I think I would go probably Derrick Henry versus Jerome Bettis in that situation, even though they are different backs. And if I would probably give a comparable to Derrick Henry, I probably would give it to Brandon Jacobs, who was the old Giants running back, versus Jerome. So those two are in stature.
Yeah, I would say neither. I would not want to tackle either one of those guys.
But. Yeah, I wouldn't want to tackle him either. So I promise you, I'm glad I played offense.
Real quick, guys.
I didn't want to tackle anybody if I threw an interception, so let alone standing in a hole and you have to tackle that guy.
I have received a text from one Nate Washington, and he says that Charlie is stirring up trouble.
Oh, that did not answer the question.
I love it. That's good trouble. I can't wait till Friday to receive that text. Friday evening, I can't wait.
All right, we'll see.
I'm sorry, the tweet. I can't wait to receive that tweet.
That's
on
right.
Friday.
We to be continued on Friday evening. Yes. Charlie, really appreciate the visit. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, not a problem. Thank you.
All right, that is Charlie Batch, former longtime quarterback with the Steelers. At Charlie Batch 16 does work on their broadcast crew for their games. And, of course, the Steelers coming to town to take on the Titans on Sunday. 2-5-0 teams. Somebody is going to take their first loss of the season, I guess. Or I guess you could tie. I mean, that does happen now.
Hate that, though. Please don't let that happen.
I know. No, we are not rooting for that at all. We will come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Ryan Tannehill right now, candidly, since he became the starter, no one's playing better than that.
And it's not an argument. Like, anybody who wants to argue with me, pick a different one, because this is not one that is even arguable. Since he's become their starter, if we want to look at, like, how we value quarterbacks in the NFL, where do you perform or how do you perform in the fourth quarter when the game's on the line, like most of them are in the NFL? How do you perform on third down, which is the money down? And then how do you perform in the red zone when points are at a premium? He's top five in all three. So the three most important categories of quarterbacking, he's top five in them all since he became the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. This year alone, in the red zone, dude is 22 of 26 for 13 touchdowns. That's why this is not a debate. And everyone, I respect everybody who wants to tell me that Derrick Henry's the reason why that they are who they are, and they got a great head coach in Vrabel, and they're multiple on defense. Cool, I'm with all that. The Tennessee Titans are who they are because of Ryan Tannehill. Stop running from it. Change your glasses. He's no longer the quarterback in Miami. Look at him through the correct vantage point. A top five quarterback.
Dan Orlovsky, former quarterback, on Get Up this morning on ESPN. There you go. He says it's not even a discussion. Ryan Tannehill is the MVP of the Titans over Derrick Henry. A guy, you guys agree or disagree?
Well, I don't know if that's what he was specifically arguing. I think what's 100% clear is, remember we had the whole discussion of Tier 1, Tier 2, Tier 3 that The Athletic does every year? Ryan Tannehill is playing Tier 1 and has been since he took over. I don't think there's any doubt. So that is an elite level that he's playing. But here's where it comes down to.
Well, what was he saying then?
I think he was his point was that you got to shake off the stigma that you have of Ryan Tannehill as quarterback in Miami, right? He's basically saying he's not that guy anymore. So
yeah, but that's
when you compare who are you voting for MVP? Is it Tannehill or Henry? I think it's a fascinating discussion because how much of what Tannehill is doing is based on what Derrick Henry does when he's on the field.
Can you play that, Elijah, at the beginning part again? Because now I want to hear it again. Just because he did say that, you're right. He brought up the Miami reference at the end. Can you play up the beginning?
He's playing MVP level. There's no question.
No doubt. Can you play the beginning part again, Elijah?
Ryan Tannehill right now, candidly, since he became the starter, no one's playing better than that.
And it's not an argument. Like, anybody who wants to argue with me, pick a different one. Because this is not one that is even arguable. Since he's become their starter, if we want to look at, like, how we value quarterbacks in the NFL, where do you perform or how do you perform in the fourth quarter when the game's on the line, like most of them are in the NFL? How do you perform on third down, which is the money down? And then how do you perform in the red zone when points are at a premium? He's top five in all three. So the three most important categories of quarterbacking, he's top five in them all since he became the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. This year alone, in the red zone, dude is 22 of 26 for 13 touchdowns. That's why this is not a debate. And everyone, I respect everybody who wants to tell me that Derrick Henry's the reason why, that they are who they are, and they got a great head coach in Vrabel, and they're multiple on defense. Cool, I'm with all that. The Tennessee Titans are who they are because of Ryan Tannehill. Stop running from it. Change your glasses. He's no longer the quarterback.
Okay. Sorry, you did get a little bit of the Henry in there. To me, that's the big issue. I still think there's a perception from people on the outside that the guy was just kind of hot. He'll come back to earth. And I think that's a big emphasis of Orlovsky's take, is we need to change that perception. He just keeps doing it. And not only is he playing well, he's playing as well as any quarterback in the league. But I think it would be wrong not to say that what Derrick Henry does just by being on the field would help any quarterback.
Yeah, I will say this. I think the correct answer is neither one of them would be what they are without each other. I think that's really the answer.
Yeah.
But you can only vote for one person for MVP.
Everything he said about Tannehill is true. And we've talked about it on this show. He is now leading them from behind. You don't feel like the game is ever over. It's a nice feeling. We had that feeling with Steve McNair. It's been a while. Vince Young's rookie year. It's been a while since we've had a quarterback in this market where you felt like you're never out of it. And certainly that is the case with Ryan Tannehill. Red zone, just what he's doing, just his numbers. They're winning with him. But I also think you take Derrick Henry out of the mix, and I don't know if I buy that he looks the same. In fact, I don't. But I also tell you that Derrick Henry needs Ryan Tannehill, because I think this has happened together, right? Derrick Henry's best has been when Ryan Tannehill's been under center. Derrick Henry has looked like an MVP
because they have a
rusher.
Game.
Right, exactly, because there is a dual threat. They have a running threat, and now they have a passing threat, and so defenses cannot key on one. And so I do think that they both need each other, and I don't believe they're both the same without each other, although I think Derrick Henry has a better chance, in my opinion, to succeed without the other. And I don't think Tannehill looks the same without a guy like Derrick. If they had Jeremy McNichol, Jeremy McNichols was their running back. I do not believe that Tannehill would be putting up the same numbers. If it was another quarterback, I think Derrick Henry can still, to the same type of level, do what he does a little bit. It would be less, but it would still look a little bit more good with Mario.
So the Titans MVP. Let's say that we have to submit our vote to the league. This is who we are nominating for league MVP, and you can only vote for one. I would vote for Henry in a slight edge. I asked Teron yesterday. He, in a slight edge, gave the vote for Tannehill, which I think is why this is a fun question, because you can't go wrong. We know that they complement one another perfect, because when you say Derrick Henry is benefiting because he has a passing attack, well, it's a specific kind of passing attack that is predicated on play action, right? That's what opens everything up, is the play action. And how good Arthur Smith is of drawing up plays out of play action, how good Ryan Tannehill reads the play action, and you don't have it unless you have Henry back there. That's why if I were to submit my vote for MVP, and this, we used to talk about this with the Norris Trophy, right? Is it Yossi or is it PK Subban? Is it Yossi or is it Weber? Is it Weber or is it Suter?
Yeah.
When you have two, you can only vote for one. It kind of splits the vote, right? So, and that might be what happens here. But I would vote for Henry, and that's to take nothing away from Tannehill. Because if you say Tannehill, I can't say, hey, you're dead wrong.
Yeah. I feel the same way as you. I wouldn't phrase it any differently. There is no wrong answer, but if you're asking me to choose, I would choose Henry, but it's not because, you know what, you're just asking me to choose. I feel I would give a slight lean toward choosing Henry, but there is no wrong answer.
Yeah, and I do think that they need each other, because I think that Derrick Henry He's been good since he got into the league, and then, you know, especially since he took over as the starting running back. He's gotten better now that there is a competent passing game with Tannehill, but that competent passing game has also been assisted by the running game. So they all help each other. It's such a tough question.
Do you want to slap yourself in the face like Teron did when he answered the question?
I do. I'm going to lean Tannehill. And it's a slight lean right now because of what I just said, that they need each other. But the thing that I can't look past is that the knock on Mariota was always he was a one-read quarterback, and that's what he was. And it was a knock because it was true. Now you look at this offense, and you have Adam Humphries that everybody was excited about that signing. Last year for this team, in 12 games before he got hurt, he had 374 yards. He's already got 200 through playing four games because he missed a game because of COVID. He's a chain mover, but he's not always the first option. Rarely, I think he is the first option. A.J. Brown is. Corey Davis was when Brown was out. Tannehill is not afraid to make tight throws, to make dangerous throws, to be aggressive. He's not afraid to pass it around. And his confidence is now to a point where you're seeing him do that, you know, week in and week out, and it's working. It wasn't happening even with LaFleur or early days of Arthur Smith. It just wasn't happening before. Now it is. Now you also have to look at Tannehill's time in Miami, and Adam Gase looks even worse as a head coach and an offensive coordinator. But I lean Tannehill because of how he can make the offense be bigger than it has been, how he can spread the ball around. But I take nothing away from Henry. So I think we're all tiptoeing and saying there's not a wrong answer, but I'll go Tannehill.
Sean is weighing in on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Sean, what's up?
How's it going, guys? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I was going to lean Tannehill, and here's why. I've watched them all season. I'm not a big numbers guy, but I've watched every game. They're both playing fantastic. The only thing it really comes down to for me, is that the quarterback position is so important. I mean, how many times have we heard Mr. Reese say on his show, you can get by with a serviceable running back, but you can't get by with a quarterback that can't get it done. And we have that, and I think that's why you have to give it to Tannehill, because it's such a big deal and we haven't had one.
It's a really good point. But I think in this day and age, it is Derrick Henry is still the rare guy. That's why you've heard me ask this question to a number of different people. Jeff Fisher I asked yesterday, I asked Teron. I just don't know that there's another player who is a non-quarterback that tilts the field in your favor right now more than Derrick Henry.
I would agree.
And that's so rare to say about a running back these days. Mm-hmm. But his point about the quarterback is extremely well taken. Because what Floyd said is dead on right. And Tannehill, even in the key drives when they've had to have it in a two-minute drill where Derrick Henry is out of the equation, Tannehill still stays productive.
Look, this is... That's a really good point, by the way. Yeah, Sean, it's hard to argue with that, but I just think if you put a lesser quarterback under center, I'm not sure a ton changes with Derrick Henry. I think you're going to get pretty much close
Mariota?
To the same production, or still get a lot of production. I think if you put a lesser running back there, I think it may change the look of Tannehill. Look, we're splitting hairs.
We're yeah. splitting hairs. Right?
We're
that's,
splitting
that's
hairs.
That's why it's a fun argument.
Yeah. It's they're both playing at an MVP level. They are. Tannehill really is playing more at an MVP level, but I do think they both need each other and they both complement each other very, very well. They both contribute to each other's success. I think while Ryan Tannehill is playing at an elite level right now, he is playing at an elite level. We all know that. and the numbers back it up, everything. And he is a legit MVP candidate today. I think, though, year in and year out, is anybody – well, because we've talked about it, right? I mean, he's never been above a tier three in anybody's – is he an elite quarterback year in and year out?
Right. I think that's
the,
a,
the
that's
answer
a
is
– that's a different question.
No, right. Unless this is what he looks like the rest of his career. And if this is what he looks like the rest of his career, I don't know if we've ever seen that before, right? That would be a mm-hmm. first, yeah. That a quarterback who – wasn't an elite quarterback, and then in year like five, he turns into an elite quarterback the rest of his career. I don't think there is any body of work
Rich
that shows
Gannon.
Us that can happen.
Rich Gannon is one of the few that I have thought of. I don't know if Rich Gannon won a league MVP, but the year that they went to the Super Bowl.
We're not talking about a year. I'm talking about years of being
Rich Gannon,
level.
Rich Gannon was pretty good towards the end. Those years with the Raiders, he was pretty good every year, and he might have won an MVP.
He did.
In there. He did. Okay. So there are some quarterbacks who aren't Hall of Famers but can play Tier 1 or Elite or even MVP for a season. But you're right, Darren. Tannehill's going to have to keep doing it over the long haul to really get that.
And that's not a slight at him.
It's not. We got to give him credit for getting to this level, for sure.
Of course. Nobody's taken anything away. Like I said, right now, he belongs in the league MVP discussion, period.
But this,
and if
this
he
is,
keeps this up, he may be the league MVP. It's going to be hard to beat Russell Wilson out. But that being said, he deserves to be in there. I just think Derrick Henry is an elite running back in the league, no matter who his quarterback is. Once again, they both need each other. I just think that I would need to see Ryan Tannehill do it for a long stretch, because I don't think anybody believe, like, we know that, like, Russell Wilson, it doesn't matter who his running back is, right? Russell Wilson, yeah. It doesn't matter who he throws to. The same, you know, we know the elite, Patrick Mahomes, it doesn't matter. Just insert a running back, insert receivers, and Mahomes will make them good. He doesn't need them. I think Tannehill needs a guy like Derrick Henry. And once again, it goes back to the discussion. Can you win a Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill? Yes, you can.
But everything
has to go right.
As long as you got Derrick Henry.
Yes, everything has to fall into place and everything has to go right. And he's not one of those guys year in and year out. It doesn't matter who you got around him. You're a Super Bowl contender. He's not one of those guys. But can you win with him? Absolutely. They're proving it right now.
I'm going to give you one more point, Chase, and then I know you're dying to – you got a bunch of texts and people are reacting to this. This is why I still go back to Henry. And I'm just going to build on the point that Darren just made. I take the numbers aside for a minute and just think about how much a defensive coordinator has to stress all week about every time Derrick Henry touches the ball. If you break down for one play, no matter where the ball is on the field, he could go all the way like he did on Sunday. And then there is the physical toll that you know you're going to be in for. You've got to put so much resources into controlling him and taking the physical pounding. I mean, that you can't put a price, you can't put a value on just that part of it. And I think that makes everybody's job easier who's on the field for the Titans. That's why I just keep coming back, including Tannehill. That's why I would give Henry my vote.
Yeah, and there are a few texts, but I will say, and somebody did text on this point, I would want to see Henry right now with, you know, whether it's Mariota or a lesser quarterback, to see what those numbers look like, because we did see it with Mariota. He had just over 1,000 yards that full year with him, and then when Tannehill took over, the numbers got better. Now, Henry also grew into the starter's role as a running back. He was more the second running back his first couple years in the league. So I would have to see it, but I do believe it goes back to the point of that they have certainly complemented one another, and that's what a lot of people that have texted in, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We have one from Andrew. Derrick Henry wasn't running for 200 yards with Marcus or leading the league in rushing. Ryan equals MVP hands down. Davis said Tannehill looked pretty good on the two-minute drill without Henry on the field. Fair, but that's 2 minutes. I don't think you can really take a ton. And then you guys are trying to come up with examples of a quarterback that, you know, maybe wasn't great and then had turned into an MVP type QB. This one,
not for a year.
Right.
For the rest of their career, not a year. There's all kinds of examples of a year.
Would you put Kurt Warner in this conversation simply not necessarily the, you know, we know what he did with the Rams, but then his career completely fell off. I mean, he was non-existent, and then he came back with Arizona and got him to the Super Bowl.
That was more about
he went to two Super Bowls with the Rams. I think he had pretty decent sustained success after he burst on the scene. Correct me if I'm wrong, he was the MVP that first year.
Yeah, he burst on. He was not a guy just floundering in the league, and then Trent Green goes down and he gets He literally, they're like, we're going with Kurt Warner. Trent Green's done for the year, and everybody was like, who? And he never looked back. I mean, so it wasn't a guy just standing on the sidelines holding a helmet. Or he had been playing and been, you know, a starter, a backup.
He was a total unknown.
He wasn't even in the league. He was in the Arena League. I mean, nobody knew who he was. So I don't think that is an example of what we're talking
about.
We're talking about a guy that's – Ryan Tannehill spent years as the starting quarterback every single year as the Dolphins, first-round pick, and he just wasn't good. And now all of a sudden he's become an elite quarterback with a new organization. And how long can this go on? If he just keeps doing this, if this is what he looks like year in and year out, that's the example.
I wouldn't consider him ever being elite, but it took him 5 years and a bunch of different OCs to.
He has always
moments.
Steady.
He had moments. He was steady. I don't think he was ever. Was he ever? I don't think he was ever in contention for a league MVP or any of that. So steady. Yeah, yeah.
His best year was the year that the Titans beat him.
His best year is when they drafted Mahomes. Because I remember Derek Mason coming on here and going on this show, said, yeah, he'll have his best year as a pro. You watch. And sure enough, he did. Because they drafted his replacement. Let's go to Andrew. Andrew has called in on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Andrew, what's up?
Hey, guys. Are we talking about Hall of Fame resumes or MVPs? Because if we're talking about MVPs,
the original question is MVP for this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We're not talking about career resumes. I mean, if you look at Sunday's game, do you think Derek's going to line up and beat the Steelers? Because I think they could put 10 people in the box and beat us. We need Tannehill to go out and be our team MVP if we want to beat elite teams.
So your vote is for Tannehill.
Absolutely.
MVP.
You can stop a running back any day.
I'm not so sure about that. I don't think you can stop Derrick Henry any day.
You can put 10 people in the box if you got Marcus, and you don't have to worry about Derek.
They've done that, but
and
I will say
for years.
Well, he did not have the success that he's had with Tannehill under center. There's no doubt.
The team wasn't great either.
The team is better now, but yes, to your point, things started opening up more for Derrick Henry when they had more of a threat under center in Ryan Tannehill. So. Look, that's what we've said. They both need each other. Right now, he is the MVP. I get it. That's what we're saying. But I want to know also, overall, what does he look like without a guy like Derrick Henry? I'm not sure it looks the same. I think you need a guy like Derrick. Derrick Henry is a real threat. Everybody is game planning for Derrick Henry. You cannot.
Oh, absolutely.
You have to take that into account.
Tannehill could be great with a little shifty running back coming out of the backfield, too.
Yeah, we're splitting hairs. It's a good conversation. Thanks for the call.
We had another texter that asked, what about Chargers Drew Brees?
Drew Brees was drafted. He was good with the Chargers.
He
had shoulder
hurt.
Surgery, and they gave up on him. They said he's never going to be the same. They made a
but
poor.
He went to it. He did go to another level when he went to the Saints. True.
Yeah, but it was poor judgment by an organization that said he's never going to be the same. Don't forget the Miami Dolphins passed on him because they didn't think he would ever be the same either. Who knows if Nick Saban would have ever gone to college football if they had Drew Brees.
And signed Dante Culpepper instead.
Yeah, and they signed Dante Culpepper. I mean, Drew Brees wasn't the same player that he turned into New Orleans, but it's not like he was floundering in San Diego.
The marriage with Sean Payton there, too, helps out a whole lot. And I think the thing with Tannehill is Art Smith, or Art Smith, and how their relationship has kind of helped make that transition too. The offensive coordinator is a big part of it.
Yeah,
sure. But I do think it's an interesting conversation with Breeze because, I mean, his 4 years as a starter in San Diego were certainly nothing compared to once he got to New Orleans. Yards wise, he was the first couple of years, 17 touchdowns, 16 interceptions, 11 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. I mean, he certainly took care of the ball better once he got to New Orleans.
I mean, he had a year in San Diego where he had 27 touchdowns and 7 picks. I mean, yeah, threw for over 3,000 sure. yards. I mean, that's not a guy floundering.
No.
27 touchdowns to 7 interceptions and over 3,000 yards passing. That's pretty good in my book, especially back then. I mean, remember, that's 16 years ago. Game was a little bit different than it is today.
Sure.
Or a whole lot different. All right, we'll come back and we will wrap up the third hour of Darren Donick and Chase next.
Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, the game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Darren McFarland with you. Willie Donick has stepped away for the rest of the day. A lot of you weighing in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, about this conversation that we're having. Ryan Tannehill or Derrick Henry for MVP. And I, you know, Darren, as we've said, I don't think there's really a wrong answer. And the fact that you think about the history of this team in the last 5, 6, 7 years, the fact that we're having a conversation today about two guys on the team being in consideration for the MVP, that is light years away from where this team was. And that's what a lot of people are saying. I mean, we had one texter that says the only correct answer to who would be the MVP is there is no correct answer. It's the perfect storm. You take one away from the other and the defensive focus changes. They need each other, period.
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah, considering the Wisenhunt years of, you know, 2-14 and 3-win seasons and first, you know, top 5 draft picks. I mean, yeah, it's a heck of a problem. And then you even have some that are saying, Tim says Henry had a 238-yard game with Mariota and broke 105 other times before Tannehill. So you're going to have that crew that's saying, yeah, it's got to be Henry and he's just as good. It doesn't matter who his quarterback is. It's a good problem to have.
Yeah. I think what everybody's hoping for is that they both stay on this pace, because both of them staying on this pace and the way the defense is playing, that's the only way right now that they can have true success, because the defense has got to get better. And I don't know if it's going to get better. I mean, maybe. Maybe they get some of these, but you know, maybe a Dory Jackson they'll get back at some point. I know that a certain member of the media got his hand slapped yesterday for asking about a Dory Jackson over on the third field.
Yep.
When we played Mike Vrabel's press conference yesterday. Maybe Christian Fulton will continue to get better with every week, every game.
Yeah, he's just a rookie. He's just playing like a rookie. I mean, you see flashes of good and you go, okay, he's getting it, but you got to also keep in mind he's a second-round pick. He's going to have those up and downs. Chris Jackson's another one. We've talked about Chris Jackson a lot of, oh, okay, late-round pick, seeing a lot of good out of him. But then you see some bad, and last week he didn't even play. So those two guys, you're just going to have to put the rookies that are learning. It depends on who they're going up against. But I agree, the defense has to get better, because as much as we love to gush over Tannehill and Henry right now and the MVP conversation, are they going to be able to do that on their own on the offensive side, put up enough points where the defense can have some warts and still be able to win games?
Well, they'll have to, because until the defense gets better, they have to keep scoring like they are, or they're not going to be able to win these games. I mean, you know, here's the other part, is we've talked about this over and over and over again. At some point, You know, and maybe it's, you know, I have, I wouldn't say zero. I've got like 1% faith in Vic Beasley that this is going to turn around. Like, I just think this is what it is. Jadeveon Clowney is the one where you feel like there needs to be more, right? I mean, he's the guy who yeah. wanted to get paid. He's the guy that wants the big contract. He's the guy that wants the big, huge payday. And look, the bottom line is a guy at his position and who's a former number one pick overall, like, you know, what he can he disrupt things without appearing on stat sheet? Yes. Is he good against the run? Yes.
Yes.
Can he command double teams? Yeah, he can. But you're not going to get that contract unless you get to the quarterback. You're just not. You're not going to get that big contract that you're seeking without those stats to back it up. People want you to be able to get to the quarterback. All those other things can be true, and all those things can be in play. But you're not going to get the money and the contract you're looking for without getting to the quarterback, period. And yeah, I hope he realizes that. I'm sure this offseason was probably a real eye-opener. But, you know, he's got to get to the quarterback. And right now, here we are. They're going into their sixth game of the regular season, and he has zero sacks on the year.
This team has got to get to the quarterback. Yes, you paid him a lot of money. That's why you brought him in to be the guy doing it. But how many times have we had the conversation, oh, Harold Landry, I mean, he's only going to get better. He's going to be a big-time pass rusher for this team. He's good, but he's not getting to the quarterback on a regular basis like you expect him to. I mean, the pass rush has been a conversation in the offseason about the Tennessee Titans for the last 3 years. When is it going to get fixed? And the defense obviously has had, I mean, the defense was a huge reason of why they were in the AFC Championship last year. So was Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill. But the defense was certainly in that conversation. But we watched that game against Kansas City. Couldn't get near Mahomes. I mean, they couldn't. And to win a Super Bowl, to win an AFC title, you have to be able to get to quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. And right now, this team can't do that. And that's going to have to change. They're going to get a big test this weekend. If you take the game that the Titans played against the Houston Texans last week and you change the opponent, you get the same tight plays out of the team and you change the opponent to this week against Pittsburgh, they're 4-1. They lose. They don't beat a team like Pittsburgh. So they're going to have to figure that part out. I take nothing away from the offense and the points that they're putting up, but the defense is going to have to do their part too. And like you said, does some of that change when Adoree Jackson comes back in? Probably. It doesn't fix everything, because let's be honest, Adoree Jackson is not this all-pro shutdown corner. He's really good. He's gotten better, but he doesn't fix all your problems. The defense complements everything. They complement each other. And so I don't know what it's – is it just going to take the fact that they had 16 days off out of the facility, now they're getting back into a rhythm – once Clowney breaks through, you know, does he get the first sack and all of a sudden they just all come? I don't know. But it's time that they answer those questions, because this schedule is getting harder.
We'll come back. We'll head over to West End. We'll bring in Vanderbilt football coach Derek Mason. We'll talk to him next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.